Well, good evening.
Good evening, Father.
I hope you're all off to a good start in this season of Lent, right? If not, well, hey, we still got 5 weeks left, right? Time to get going, though. Time to get begun. We have this marvelous gospel passage today. I was just reading before I came out here that we always read the Transfiguration on this second Sunday. Did you know that it's 40 days? The deacon was talking about 40 days last week a lot. Huh? It's 40 days till Good Friday, and that there's a connection there. But in any case, we're looking at the Transfiguration. But we start this year, in year C, with the story of Abraham. Okay? And Abraham, God tells Abraham, come on outside and look at the sky and count the stars if you can. Now, if you've ever been out in the middle of the desert and looking up at the sky at nighttime, it is amazing, right? The stars you can see, and it's very obvious you can't count them. So the emphasis there would be on the immensity of God, in a sense. But here's the caveat. When Abraham was led out and told to look at the sky, it was in the middle of the day. It wasn't at night. The story goes on to tell us that later the sun sets. Now how many stars can he count? One, right? One is all he could see. And so the shift of the emphasis in this story comes to how much we don't know, how much we don't see about the enormity of who God is. And therefore, how amazing it is that here, for the first time, God is revealing self to people. In the great covenant established with Abraham, God's revelation transcends then what we know of God through nature to what God has actually spoken to us of through our ancestors in faith. God is a mystery, and all we can do actually is bow before that mystery. This too, I believe, is the symbol of the cloud on the mountain that overcomes the disciples as they're there with Jesus. If you've ever been in a cloud, and you have if you've been in fog, right? And it's hard to see. And it's another emphasis on how little we see or how hard it is to see God. Even though they had seen the Transfiguration, had seen Jesus talking with Moses and the prophet, nevertheless, how little they actually are seeing. And again, we're reminded, in a sense, of how small we are in the face of God. But God chose to reveal to us, through Jesus, the most important thing. God revealed to us the depth of his love, so that we can echo with John, God is love. How marvelous this is that God has revealed to us. But both stories include that distance between God's understanding and ours. And reveal the pride about when we think we know so much, about how much we're capable of doing, when compared to God, not so much. Both reveal God is more clear to us now in our understanding because God has revealed to us himself and his intentions. To Abraham in rather ordinary ways, although hearing the voice of God, to saying, I am the Lord, nevertheless calling Abraham to covenant. And the apostles, in that surprising, eye-catching way of the Transfiguration, what a gift that was to them, as Peter will explain later in his letters, both encouraging us to listen more intently because we need to. Although the human Jesus needed affirmation, and certainly on the mountain, hearing from the Father and speaking with the law and the prophets, we know from there he journeyed towards Jerusalem with greater intention and purpose and understanding. It is really the apostles that we're looking at in this story, because they are us, right? As we are up there with Jesus. And the Transfiguration, not to praise or amaze, but to reveal who God is, to challenge us, and to comfort us at the same time. These apostles saw him with greater clarity, and because of this, experienced gradually the understanding of who they are in relationship with God and who they are called to be. These two stories then challenge our current inadequate understandings and relationship with God. They comfort us in God's compassion, God's understanding, and God's care, and of course, the promise. The promise of covenant to Abraham, the promise of the cross, and the glory to the apostles. Now, Peter, who is us, he wants to build tents, right? He wants to stay right there. Maybe he sensed a little the direction that Jesus is headed. He did reveal to them just before going up that he was going to Jerusalem, and Peter probably did not want to go there. Or perhaps he was beginning to really understand what Jesus was saying in his parables and his teachings. Both are kind of unlikely because we've come to know Peter pretty well. But they cannot stay there. The journey continues to Jerusalem. So what does this all mean for us? Well, God initiated that covenant in Abraham and revealed the depth of his love through his passion and death and resurrection to the apostles in his passion and death. Paul speaks of this kind of transformation or transfiguration that occurs in all of those who accept Christ in their life. They become conformed to him. And what this might look like, Paul goes on to speak about the risk. Well, he speaks about the risk of being arrogant, if you will, in saying, look at me. I'm a model for you. See in me the glory of God. God is revealed then to us through Paul, certainly, but really in the goodness and the glory of our brothers and sisters. This certainly has been my experience. We all know people whose lives are an extraordinary example of integrity, of unselfish service, of generosity and dependability. Such people do not usually recognize the glory that shines forth through them, but they will insist they're only living ordinary lives. But ordinary lives, indeed, they probably are. But the way in which they are living those lives makes them so extraordinary. Now, Paul warns his readers to not allow their own selfish desires to become their God. He exhorts them to stand firm, imitating people whose lives manifest what it means to be gospel people. Just as we and they are in the process of growing in union with God, like them, we are also responsible to carry on Jesus' mission in our own challenging place and time in this distressing world. The accounts remind us that God is revealed through us as well. When we follow Jesus faithfully by embracing his cross, by dying to self and living for others, and the challenge today is the same as it always was, to rise and see beyond what we usually see. What we see without the eyes of faith. Perhaps the message here is that during this season of Lent, we hope for such an experience ourselves as the apostles got on that mountain, one of clarification of who he is, of who the Father is, and the great covenant we enjoy at God's instigation, renewed each time we celebrate Mass, that we might see for ourselves the glory that is revealed in and through him, that we might also recognize what it means to follow him to Jerusalem and beyond. The disciples who witnessed the transfiguration and resurrection slowly grasped the fact that those experiences portrayed their own destiny, the fulfillment of life in God. In these first 2 weeks of Lent, we've begun a new stage of this holy year. Today, we've begun to see the glory of God revealed to us and through us, through his Son, Jesus, most explicitly. So let us approach this mystery of God today with humble hearts, witnessing that same mystery in the manner of our lives.